You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Joining me right now, a legend in comedy, a legend in television, a New York icon. I am, of course, talking about the great Jerry Seinfeld. And as a fan of Seinfeld, it is my favorite TV show. I never thought I would get this opportunity, but now that I have it, I'm going to take advantage of it. So as I welcome in Jerry Seinfeld, all I have to say is, Jerry, hello.
Tommy, you've worked very, very hard for this. You earned it. You deserved it. You put in the time. You managed to catch me in the bathroom at weird times talking about my show, and I was touched, I was flattered, and as a result, we are now connected. How about that? Isn't it wonderful the way media and the universe can work together?
It really is, Jerry. So for your line of work, you could see the audience. When you're doing stand-up, you could see if somebody in the second row is picking their nose.
I actually cannot.
You cannot see people in the audience.
I do not ever see anyone in the audience. I always set my lighting to be complete blackout. For me, a stand-up is a fantasy world, and I like to just look into complete blackness and just imagine. I think if you could really see the audience's faces, you'd realize you're not doing nearly as well as you think.
But at least, Jerry, you know they're out there. So when I'm doing a show, I have no idea where my audience is. So here I am doing a radio show, and Jerry Seinfeld is in the bathroom listening to me, I hope laughing at the show, or somebody else is trying to be the master of their domain or whatever the case may be. So I really don't know what my audience is doing when I'm doing the show, but the fact that you're in the bathroom and I'm talking about your show and that's how we connected, dude, it means the world to me, and I really appreciate you coming on, Jer.
It's my pleasure. It's funny. I always turn on sports radio if I have to wash my hands, brush my teeth, whatever I'm doing in the bathroom. I listen to sports radio for that 2 minutes and 15 seconds. And I happen to catch you. I was in California, actually, listening on the Odyssey radio app.
There you go.
And I heard you talking about my show. I go, wow, that's I don't know. I still felt appreciative that somebody out there liked the show. I know maybe that sounds silly to you, but I just appreciated it.
Yeah, Jerry, look, it's my favorite show of all time. I constantly quote it both off the air and on the air. And you kind of led me into my first question. Your love for WFAN, because you've been a caller, Jerry from Queens. You used to call Steve all the time.
Yes.
What is it about WFAN, Jerry, that draws you to it? Is it the host, the maybe sometimes the crazy callers? What it is about this radio station, Jerry, that you have had this long-term companionship with? What draws you into it?
Well, when did FAN start? Mid-90s, I feel like?
Something like that. You know, I've only worked here 15 years. I have no idea when it started. Yeah.
It seemed like a crazy idea. I remember when it came on, I go, how the hell can you talk about sports? To me, the craziest idea was the sports radio highlight. I can't see the play. It's just the announcer's call. And it works. It's actually thrilling. I mean, to hear, like today, Carson Bengi's tank was thrilling to hear. It wasn't the greatest call from Matt Vasgersian, but they kind of invented that. And then they had the 2020 updates. And just that you could talk about sports, I was explaining it to my wife. It's a closed system, the sports world. Most of the time, the outside world does not affect the sports world. Sometimes somebody dies or there's a big world event, but for the most part, it's an aquarium when you go into the sports world. And we need that and love that about the sports world. I like hearing people argue and fight about something that means absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. This is the candy store. This is the toy store. Jerry, were you at Citi Field today or
Steve
no?
Steve Summers, the toy aisle.
Oh,
I always loved the Steve Summers. He's called the toy aisle, which if you have to be old to remember that there used to be toy aisles, not the entire store.
You already know with which I'm talking,
anyway,
Jerry. Were you at Citi Field today?
I sure was, and I was just thinking in anticipation of speaking with you. I think it was the greatest day since the Lindor Grand Slam in 24 against the Phillies.
Yep.
I think it was the most exciting day at Citi Field since then. It just felt very optimistic and exciting, and the new team does have great energy, great athleticism, and you know, we really got to get past the what I called the December massacre.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on the offseason just in one second here, Jerry. What is your first impression? You talked about the day. Obviously, the weather was gorgeous. I mean, to have this type of weather late March in New York and in Queens is basically unheard of. But the new-look Mets, and you saw Benj, you saw Peralta, Bichette, Luis Robert Jr. What is your first impression of all the acquisitions that David Stearns made in the offseason?
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
I mean, what do you want to say? You saw it on the field. There's good energy. They seem lively. It feels lively, you know. You know, when we watched the final game of the World Baseball Classic, the word that could not escape your head was flat. This team looks flat, and the Mets. What's the opposite of flat? To me, it's alive, and this team looked alive. And Beatty at third. You know, we saw that energy, and Bengi's brother came by my box.
Oh,
he just walked in front of where I was sitting, and he said, "I'm Carson. What's his first name?"
So Carson Benj is his name. Yeah, Carson's first.
Carson Benj. He came and said hello. So I got to meet him. Took a picture with him. I told him, "Tell your brother, congratulations." That's the moment. That homer. I mean, it's a young kid. You know, he's got that skinny kid body. You know, and. It was a beautiful baseball experience.
You mentioned his brother coming up to you. I got to ask you this, Jared. When you're approached by fans, do they always hit you with lines from the show? And do you go around yourself quoting the show? Like it just is kind of seeped in your consciousness?
Do I go around quoting my show?
Yes.
Is that your question, Tommy?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Give that another second's thought. and give me a better question. Come on. You're a professional.
No, I know, but
you're Tommy Lou Gowers.
Well, borderline professional. I think I'm a generational talent feature of the radio station. But professional, I probably teeter on that. But do people like approach you and then always hit you with a hello or anything like that? Is that just, or do they just say, hey, Jerry, how's it going?
In New York, you get Jerry. That's what I get, and it was why I was walking with my son in Central Park the other day, and people kept coming up, but they don't break stride. They just, as they go by, they go, Jerry, and I go, hey, And that's it. And that is what's cool about living in New York, which I love to death.
No, absolutely. I lived in New York City for 5 years, in Long Island, so I've been here my entire life. I'm 40. There's just nothing that you see in either Midtown Manhattan or anywhere in this great state that surprises you. So we as New Yorkers could just walk by anything crazy and we don't think anything of it. You know where the tourists are because right. They're staring and taking pictures with people in Times Square. But for us, it's just a Monday through the city. Now, as far as the Mets offseason, take me through Jerry Seinfeld's experience when first Diaz leaves, then Alonso leaves, they traded Nimmo, and then ultimately David Stearns had a lot of moves like Peralta and Bichette, Luis Robert Jr., but that was, a little bit while after that. What was the range of emotions for you during the Mets offseason?
I'll be honest, it was tough. It was tough. And I honestly wanted to come on your show a few weeks ago, and I wanted to do a show of Met fans. I wanted to hear from Met fans, which if you want to take a call, that would be fine with me.
Oh, that'd be great.
And talk about how they work through their emotions of losing those two guys. And I kind of had to come to the point of when I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I go on stage and I go, hey, it's great to be here in Fort Lauderdale. Is it great to be here, really, in Fort Lauderdale? No, it is for that night, but I'm a professional comedian, and that's what you say on stage.
Of course.
And some of these guys, it's whatever major league gig they have, it's a gig. That's their gig, I think Pete miscalculated. I think Stearns miscalculated. I think Cohen miscalculated. But these are not... Nobody's a genius. People make mistakes. I think ultimately it was a mistake on all three parts for various reasons. I also faced a decision similar to that where NBC offered me unbelievable money to continue my series. I was the number one show on television. Yep. But I knew that if I continued it, it could potentially change how the show was viewed. And so you make these choices. Ball players make them all the time. Money, legacy. So Pete made his choice. I knew Pete a little bit. He's a great guy. I wish him the best. I hope he has a great career in Baltimore. But he will not be what he would have been had he stayed in New York. That will not happen in his life now.
Yeah, you essentially went out on a high note. And as far as Alonso, the whole thing is he's happy. He got the contract he wanted. He's on the Baltimore Orioles, Jerry. It's not like he's on the Braves or the Phillies or the Dodgers or the Yankees. He didn't go to a team that would have really, stuck a knife through our heart. He went to the Orioles. It's not a rival by any means. The franchise is happy.
You're right. That's important.
Right? Like, you wish him the best
important.
In Baltimore
right.
because it doesn't matter. The Orioles are just, if anything... For us,
you're right.
They're almost like an ally because they could go beat the Yankees. So if anything, we rented Pete Alonso out to a team that could stick it to the Yankees, and that's a good thing.
Tommy, you know a lot more about sports than I do. What deal could Pete have gotten had he said to his agent, let's see what we can work out with the Mets. I'll bend a little. If they could bend a little, what could they have worked out, you think, in theoretically?
Not much.
3 years?
Maybe, but it would be a lot of opt-outs. I don't think they want, like they did with Bo Bichette, where they gave him 3 years, a bunch of opt-outs. They weren't going to give him that long-term stability. And as much as I think Pete wanted to be here, he wanted that stability. Like, he's starting a family. He sees the money that's getting thrown around on Major League Baseball, Juan Soto-type contract. And that's what he wanted, and that's what he got with Baltimore. So I just don't think it was ever really going to work out here. With Alonso and the Mets.
Why do you think, what did he not do for them? They didn't like his physique, not athletic enough a physique?
Well, that...
The guy was so productive. What more do you want from a baseball player?
Yeah, the physique thing always made me laugh, Jerry, because I remember when I was growing up, in the 90s, and first basemen and guys that batted cleanup, they all had pot bellies, mustaches, they smoked cigarettes.
Yeah, they all looked like that.
Right. They were all out...
He's a fit guy.
He's a power hitter. What do you want him to look like?
Yeah, he's fat for like modern standards, but he's got a dad bod, which we all do at this point. So it's not like he's overweight, but everybody points to
him. I don't think so.
A little bit of a pop belly.
But do you think that was their issue with him?
Yeah, I think they just didn't want to go long term. They felt like he was going to age poorly in his 30s. I think they didn't want to have him as a long-term investment. And by they, I mean David Stearns, but it was co-signed by Steve Cohen. They didn't want Pete Alonso, or didn't envision him as the future at first base. They thought he would age poorly.
Okay.
Now, Jerry.
The churn never stops. The wheel must turn.
That's it. And you ultimately, and you know this, you ultimately end up rooting for the laundry. That's right.
That's really what it comes down to.
That's
the first bit of mine I ever heard quoted anywhere. Heard it on the radio. They were talking about it on the radio in the 80s. When I was, a total unknown. There was a huge thrill hearing that one time in a car on the radio.
Yeah, but it's true. It's so true, though. And I think some people look to the back of the jersey, not the front of the jersey. And look, you fall in love with prospects, especially in baseball, because they're homegrown. You watch them from when they were drafted. They're teenagers, their early 20s. They come up through the system. They do things like Pete Alonso did, which has hit more home runs than anybody in the history of the Mets. So there's that connection. But ultimately, Pete Alonso's will come and go. Jacob DeGrom's will come and go. The Tom Seavers will come and go. But the team remains. And our relationship, we are mated. I always say this, we are mated for life with our team.
Yes.
Not the players. The team is what we come back to.
Yes.
So above all, that's where our loyalty
should be. We tend to fall in love. What was the toughest departure for you personally of a Met?
Oh, boy. DeGrom was tough. That was a tough one because he's the best pitcher in my life.
DeGrom was the toughest for me.
Yeah. So we
me too.
That.
I absolutely was in love with that guy. It was the way he went about his work. I loved his walk back and forth to the dugout, his focus, his mental focus, and just look of purpose on the mound. Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, he didn't have like a lot of charisma and this great personality. And sometimes people thought he was a little bit either hated it here or he was standoffish. I think he's just kind of a quiet guy. He goes about his business and ultimately was misunderstood.
Oh, I love guys like that.
Me too. But I think he's going to ultimately get his number retired.
I got to throw my first pitch perfect strike from the rubber at a game he started, which annoyed him that I stood on the rubber. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have. And that's good on you because a lot of people will not stand on the rubber. And I get it. It's a far distance. You don't want to embarrass yourself. But
it's far.
Very.
It's far.
Very. Jerry, so I go by the moniker of Positive Tommy. So that's kind of been my Met fandom over the last couple of years. I used to be very negative, very negative. And then in 2024, I just decided I'm going to be Positive Tommy. And I'm going to remain positive when it comes to the Mets. So even last year, and of course 2024, it was easy. How would you describe your Mets fandom? Do you lean more towards the positive Tommy side? Are you more negative or realistic? Like, where do you land on the Mets fandom side?
Oh, I don't know. People make my wife and kids always make fun of me. How are the Mets going to do? They're going to win it all this year. I am always positive. And that's another interesting thing about sports is it kind of reveals the emotional undercurrent of your personality. If you're negative, you're negative about a lot of things. Some people go, oh, typical, you know, people that say, typical, you know, things are tough for me. I'm used to it. I'm a Met fan, all that crap. Come on. Or what if you're a Mariners fan or an Angel fan?
Right.
People make it seem like things are, you have a losing culture. I think the Mets have a great legacy. The Met wins, 86 and 69, are so indelible, so fantastical, both of them. They honestly sustain you for a lifetime. So sure, I would like to win, but I mostly appreciate the fantastic booth we have with Gary, Keith, and Ron. I love this new ownership. I think Steve is a bright guy and he's dedicated to the team. So I'm a very happy fan right now. Very positive.
So, Jerry, I'm going to skip ahead to the question I have. We actually have a caller that wanted to ask it, but I could just ask it for the caller here because it was on my sheet. So, obviously, you're a massive Mets fan, but it feels like, obviously, the Keith Hernandez episode on Seinfeld, but it felt like that the Yankees were more of a focus. Was that in a way to mock them, though? Because, obviously, Larry David voicing
George and all that. Larry David's a Yankee fan. Larry David's a Yankee fan, so we would switch off.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Stuff and Yankee stuff.
Because it did make George, and obviously he was ridiculous at times, but worrying about a calzone and there'll never be chaos as long as I'm running the New York Yankees. It was very much a satirical, you know, good little calzone you got there, Costanza. That's it. Big Stein. Meeting's over. Meeting's over.
Yeah. Well, he's a great. Larry turned Steinbrenner into the funniest character. Larry was so funny doing that character.
And Larry was kind of like the invisible hand, because until Curb, you know, for a lot of us, SNL, but we didn't really know who Larry David was other than seeing his name. We didn't know he was Frank Costanza's lawyer or whatever he was. You have no eye for fashion. Like he had a couple of voiceovers in that, and it wasn't until Curb where you're like, wow, Larry was George Steinbrenner. So I always found it to be like where you're kind of poking fun. But to your point, it was a little bit of a balance between your fandom and his fandom.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Steinbrenner character was just funny. And it was, we both, we're just New York sports lovers.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if you've heard this story, Jerry. So there's a host on this station named Richard Neer. And Richard lives in the
I've heard of that.
You've heard of Richard. He lives in the Carolinas. So he did his show all these years from either North or, I think, North Carolina. So he struck up a friendship with Keith Hernandez. Keith would go on his show, you know, every once in a while. So Keith was moving down to the Carolinas. Like, he's got a place here, I think, and then in the summer, probably, and then a place, you know, in the winter down in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Much like on the show, Keith asked Richard Neer to help him move, which, as you know, is a big step in the male relationship. Can you imagine that? Art imitating life? Like, I don't know if Keith, like, even thought about it when he asked him for that, but, like, it's literally the plot to the Keith Hernandez episode. So I wasn't sure if you were aware of that, but I wanted it to get it on your radar.
I was not aware of it, and I bumped into Keith in an elevator at the Port St. Lucie last week. And he told me he was moving down there, but I didn't hear this part. That's very funny.
We're talking to the legendary Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry, your thoughts on the witch hunt that surrounds Juan Soto? The Yankee fans going through their five stages of Soto grief and not being able to get over it. What's your thoughts about the other team in town and when it comes to their obsession with Juan Soto?
I don't know. Is that what people think, that the Yankee fans are obsessed with Juan Soto?
There is a portion of their fan base.
He really seemed like a fit with the Yankees, but he came to the Mets, and we're thrilled to have him. I hope that he finds some of that exuberance that we know that he has. You know, one of the keys to being an entertainer, whether it's an athlete or in my end of the racket, is you have to know how to have fun. You have to be an expert at having fun. It's, you know, people talk about the flow state, and it's not something you can ever completely control, but it's something you seek in every performance, is finding what makes you have fun doing your thing. And I hope that Juan Soto can find that with the Mets. I think he struggled last year. He seemed not completely comfortable for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Jerry, one last question, and I'll let you go. I appreciate taking this time. I hope this is a first of many appearances here on After Hours, and we could build that male relationship and have some fun. We could talk some Knicks. Obviously, I know you're a big Knicks fan with the Mets throughout the season. Was there a side character on Seinfeld that you most liked working with or appreciated their character? Was there one in particular that stood out to you?
No. I appreciate the bench of the show was really one of the secret weapons of the show. Whether it was Newman or Peterman or Putty, Elaine's boyfriend, we had the deepest bench, I think, of any sitcom. Ever. We had so many great people because Larry and I were stand-up comics. So we weren't into the acting or any of that stuff. When somebody came into our office, you know, you have auditions and 5-10 people would come in, and if somebody came in that was funny, we just went, you're on the show. Can the guy act? I don't care. He's just a funny guy. And that's how we got the Soup Nazi and, you know, Wayne Knight, you know, I think
Newman.
Was really one of the most outstanding ones. Newman was unbelievable.
Oh, of course. Jerry Stiller, the late, great Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And
so,
I think,
yeah, and Estelle Harris, who played his wife.
Oh, they were incredible. The chemistry that they had with Jason Alexander was off the charts. Jerry,
yeah.
I can't thank you enough. You're very generous with your time. I was so thrilled and honored that you wanted to come on the show and that you heard me on the air. So that means a lot to me as a lifelong Seinfeld fan. So I appreciate it. Is there anything you got coming up that you'd like to promote? I was just in Atlantic City. I saw that you were going to be at the Borgata this month.
Well, that stuff is okay. I have two big projects I'm working on, but they're not ready to break cover just yet.
I like that. Another reason to come on later in the show. So when you do know, and you can talk about the project, you're always welcomed here. Just reach out. The door is always open.
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it. I appreciate all the kind words. Thank you.
You got it, Jerry. Take care.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really? AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?